The first 113 pages of this, if you're a heavy-duty Rob Sawyer fan, might seem a bit familiar.
That's right. There are 47 chapters in the book. The first 10 chapters, about 22,000 words, are a novella called Identity Theft that was first published in 2005. Mike Resnick, the great Hugo and Nebula Award-winning SF writer and editor, commissioned me back then to write a hard-boiled detective science fiction story for a collection of six such things that he was editing for the Science Fiction Book Club. The collection was called Down These Dark Spaceways. And I did my story for him. Mike liked it very much. I was very fortunate in that of the stories in that collection, mine probably got the most acclaim. It was nominated for the Hugo. It was nominated for the Nebula. It won Europe's top science fiction award, which came with a 6,000 euro prize, which was nice. And ever since, people have been saying to me, when are we going to see more of this character, Alex Lomax, the one and only private detective working the mean streets of Mars? And I decided finally that I did want to write more about him. But I felt it was important because, you know, Identity Theft was out there, people have read it, that I give full value. So there's over 80,000 words of new material. 37 out of 47 chapters are new material. If you've read Identity Theft before and you want to, you can skip to chapter 11 and you still get a full novel's worth of text. It's because of the incorporation of the existing novella. The novel, Red Planet Blues, is the longest book I've ever written.
This book also seems to, at least to my mind, owe a lot to your writer in residence up in the Yukon.
Absolutely. I was extraordinarily fortunate to get to spend 3 months, and even more fortunate that they were three summer months. Yes, in Dawson City, the heart of the Klondike Gold Rush in the Yukon Territory in Canada's north. Pierre Burton, the great Canadian writer of popular history books, bought back the house that he'd been born in 1920 and donated it to the Yukon Arts Council as a writer's retreat. And it's very competitive. Writers from all across Canada apply for the chance to have a subsidized 3 months there. Your airfare is paid, you don't pay anything for the accommodation at Burton House, as it's called, and you get a stipend, and you don't have any duties. You just get to go up and write in wonderful isolation. But this was, as you say, it was the heart of the Klondike Gold Rush. And Dawson City in the summer is a tourist town. Everything is about the Klondike Gold Rush. 1890s saloons, recreations of all sorts of things. The street that Burton House is on, they call Writer's Avenue, which is a pretentious name for a dirt road that has horse-drawn carriages going back and forth along it. But Writer's Avenue on the south side has Burton House. Right across the street on the north side, Robert W. Service's cabin, the great poet of the Klondike Gold Rush. And all summer long, twice a day, an interpreter for Parks Canada was out front reciting the cremation of Sam McGee, which I learned off by heart, believe me, by the end of 3 months of listening to it twice a day.
And you kind of riff on and as a preface to the novel.
The opening of the novel, of course, cremation of Sam McGee begins, there are strange things done in the midnight sun by those who moil for gold. And Red Planet Blues begins, there are strange things done neath Martian sun by those who seek the mother lode. And yes, absolutely, tip of the hat to Service and to that whole ethos of the incredible greed and corruption that surrounded the Klondike Gold Rush. And just up the street a little bit on Writers Avenue is Jack London's cabin from when he was a young guy and an adventurer, and he was a writer of adventure stories, but he lived that adventurous life, and he went to the far north. And all of that permeated my personality, my soul, if you like, while I was up there, and I wanted to give back and reflect that. Not that the Canada Council for the Arts gave a crap when I said to them, hey, I'm going to write a novel based on my experience in the Klondike. You'd think that'd be the quintessentially Canadian book, but no, because it is science fiction. They have no interest in providing support. But that said, it is very much my reflection on Canada's past projected into the future. Of course, the real Klondike Gold Rush was about the hunt for gold nuggets. This is about the discovery that there's evidence of ancient life on Mars, fossils, And in this future where gold and diamonds and rubies can be synthesized, the only thing that has real value that you can really mark up the price on are things with provenance, original works of art, not ones that have been duplicated, and original natural artifacts, like real fossils from of ancient life from Mars. And that causes a stampede that rivals the Great California Gold Rush, the Great Klondike Gold Rush, and of course the whole fur trade rush that opened up Canada's frontier.
The book is Red Planet Blues, Murder on the Mean Streets of Mars. I've been speaking with the Hugo Nebula, I'm missing one.
John Campbell. W. Campbell Award, Aurora Award, Sayoun Award, Audi Award, Homer Award, Grand Prix de la Marginaire, you name it.
The Everything That Isn't Nailed Down Award winner. How's that?
51 award wins to date, according to Locus, the trade journal of the science fiction field. The number one worldwide all-time leader in terms of award wins as a science fiction or fantasy novelist. Something I'm rather proud of.
Robert J. Sawyer, and he's Canadian. Think of that. And Red Planet Blues, published by Viking in Canada, in the States, Ace, and in Great Britain, Orion.